Hi, welcome to the Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen Kennedy. So today I want to talk about inertia and specifically as it relates to your sex life. I think many of us have probably experienced this dynamic where things just start to slow down. Like they might be really hot and heavy in the beginning, but over time, and as things get busy again, you get busy, you get familiar with your partner. You just kind of stop trying. You stop trying. You sort of rotate out of the date nights. Different things just take priority, and then you suddenly realize weeks have gone by, months have gone by, maybe even years have gone by without sex, and you're sitting there wondering, how in the heck did I get here? How has it been this long, and what do I do about it? For some relationships, one person is more the initiator. They're the keeper of the sex life. They will remind you that it hasn't happened. They might be passive aggressive about it. They might be direct. They might just be sad. In other relationships, both partners sort of have this unspoken draw that they do where they just both kind of let it go. But it's interesting because I find that like so much, the idea of like a body in motion tends to stay in motion. Well, same thing. A relationship with a sex life tends to perpetuate and be a relationship with a sex life. So it's understandable how you got here. It's super normal, it's super common. And it's not necessarily because either one of you did anything wrong, but I would also say that you can choose to interrupt the drought of your sex life and do something different. You can choose to wear something different. And even if that's maybe pretty lingerie underneath your clothes that no one sees but you. Or maybe that is you choosing to read a book that has some erotica kind of themes in it, or watch something. Or maybe you signal to your partner, hey, let's have a date night. Let's actually go out. Let's get a little bit ready so we look better than our sweat self, and try to wake each other's like, up again. I would suggest that you just do something different. The brain really likes novelty, and novelty looks like a lot of different things. It looks like going someplace new, it looks like new food, new signals, it looks like anything has changed in the environment or in the dynamic. Your brain's going to be like, wait, what? That's different. So that is sometimes a way to turn that ship around, and get some interest started, some dynamic between you started. And it's interesting. Sometimes I say let's talk about it, and sometimes I say just do something different. This topic recently came up in the small group pleasure project that I'm running right now, and it is definitely echoed amongst the participants as like, yeah, we've kind of hit a dry spell, a quiet period that has dragged on for some time, and I'm not sure how to get this right kind of back on track. And so one of the exercises that I walked them through actually this week is out of Emily Nagoski's book, Come As You Are, and it's called A Sexy Context, and that's what she calls it. And it's sort of an exercise of mining for things that turn you on, and not just directly turn you on, not exactly sexually relevant elements, but they can be, of course, but also kind of throwing the net a bit wider and imagining that that includes just things that make your brain kind of happier and more willing and more open. So it would be the opposite of the things that turn you off or frustrate you or annoy you, right? It's the things that make you more primed to be open to sexually relevant content or stimuli. So that a good way to start that would be through your senses. So, do you really like smell? Do you like delicious perfume or cologne or candles, or what kind of smells do you like? Make you kind of make your brain go yes. What kind of tastes? There's particular things that savory, sweet, whatever it is that might be really nice for you. Maybe it's a really beautiful glass of wine. Maybe it's body fluids. Maybe you're really into the way your partner tastes. I don't know, but you have to like sort of be aware of like, ooh, what kind of makes you go, ooh, I kind of like that. Of course, sight is a huge one. So what type of things do you like to see? Now, historically, they have shown that men are really responsive to visual. And that's why porn does so well with men. But with women, visual tends to be different. That might be outdoors, that might be nature type things. It also might be your partner's body. It also might be watching your favorite Netflix that has some sexy themes in it. Think about different things that you can see. All those types of things, go through your senses in that way. Also, if we look at this through that biological, psychological, interpersonal slash social lens, I'm also thinking about, what's happening in your body when you're in a better space. That might look like better rest, like you've had a really great night's sleep. It might be that you've done some exercise. Some people tend to feel really more receptive and aroused after exercise, like a good hard run or some sort of physical exertion. That can also look like other things. What else for you in particular tends to put you in a space where you just feel more in your body in a positive way? So some of that is the biological. The psychological is, when are you feeling better? Is that maybe if you think about your biorhythms, like is that in the morning? Is that on the weekend? Is that like time of day? But also what's happening? Like, is it for most women, when they are feeling higher stress, they tend to be less inclined towards sexual arousal, but not necessarily. There is a fraction of the population that doesn't feel that way, that actually responds to stress with a heightened sexual interest. So what about you? Is it when you're rested? Is it when you're relaxed? Is it when maybe you just closed a really big deal at work? But what is it for you that puts you in a space where you feel empowered, you feel energized, you feel confident? Like, think broader than just turned on, because those things are sort of the primers that take you into the next level of turned on or aroused. Yeah, there's a lot of those types of things that I think are good to understand about yourself because they really are so personal. The next category is more the social or psychological interpersonal. So it's you plus other. So that might be, how are you guys getting along? That can look like, did you guys do something, you and your partner do something together that felt like teamwork or that felt fun? Like, did you play a game that was really fun, or did you finish a big renovation project? Or I don't know. It could be a billion different things. Maybe you cooked together and it felt like you were sort of working in tandem and that felt really connecting. That could also be a primer that would take some people into a space where they're like, right, I like this person. And that was fun. And let's extend it into the bedroom. Let's take it to the next level. Because you're not going to necessarily just feel spontaneous desire like you did in the beginning. If there's too much familiarity, and that can get really boring to the mind. So part of it is reconnecting with another person or reconnecting with yourself and figuring out how to prime your environment and prime your mind to be more inclined towards allowance. Of like it is about sort of romancing yourself a little bit and understanding your own preferences in psychology, because that is really going to make a difference. It's going to help you help them to have more sexual interest and success. Because part of it is that can be so tricky is if you guys haven't had sex in a while and then one of you tries to initiate and the other one's like, nah, no thanks. It's like, oh, great. It took so much effort to try and then I got shot down. So the likelihood that trying is going to happen again in any, near future dramatically reduces. So ideally, if there can be some coordination or some intention about it, and maybe even some signaling, a lot of women in particular have trouble with like this spontaneous thing that seems to come out of nowhere in terms of initiation. They're like, wait, I was just like unpacking the groceries and you came up behind me and now you want to have sex and I'm thinking about making dinner and I don't want to do that right now. Or, I just went for a run and I feel stinky and sweaty and yet you're like coming at me like, and it's like there wasn't enough signaling, there wasn't enough preparation. So sometimes dropping little hints or maybe even having a heads up that it'd be nice to try to reconnect. And reconnect doesn't necessarily mean having full sex, having full, like, penetrative sex, I should say. Sex can be lots of things. So it doesn't mean that you have to go there. It doesn't mean it has to end in an orgasm. It means that, hey, let's try to reconnect. And that can be with your own body, that can be with your collective bodies, but part of shifting the inertia is relational in how do we get back on track? How do we make, first of all, some intention known and then create some willingness and some openness to try and do this thing that we just haven't been able to do in a while. These are the type of topics we're talking about in the Pleasure Project. It's really not one path that can fit all because it just isn't. There's so much like subjective experiencing in all of this that it has to be kind of an exploration that each person takes. And I find that the group dynamic is super helpful because the women are very open and talk about their own struggles and some of their own questioning of, is this normal? And I'm embarrassed to say that we haven't had sex in months or years or whatever. Or I don't really like this. And I never told my partner I didn't like this. And, there's just a lot of normalizing that happens when you understand that you're not the only one, actually. Other people in real time are saying, hey, I feel the same way. And I feel a lot of, trepidation to re-engage, but also kind of want to. I find that sometimes what I hear is that they want to, meaning that they don't necessarily want to quite yet, but there is a part of them that wants to get there. And so we say that's the want. And that is a willingness place, and that is a great place to start. So I'm going to encourage everybody listening to try Nagoski's sexy context exercise. Like really make a masterful list of what your best sexual experiences have included and also what you know about yourself and what tends to prime you on all kinds of fronts to feel more open. And nobody has to see this list, right? This can just be for you, but so that you have some idea and let it be just like a big, like bunch of like brainstorm word ideas, like word cloud is what I'm envisioning. And you've got lots and lots of things on this list. And then from that list, you can pick one or maybe two and start doing some of those things. Because the reality is that if you do something different, you will start to feel different. There's just these little shifts that happen. That's how the inertia shifts is, I know that I love, say, scent. Okay, so I'm going to start wearing perfume that I really enjoy, or I'm going to buy some perfume for my partner and ask them to wear it, like that even. Or let's have a date night that, maybe if you have kids, get a sitter, spend some time and go somewhere you haven't been in a while. Like, introduce a little bit of something and just see what starts to shift internally for you. Because most of the time, it's not this giant, like, giant shift that happens. It's a slow, quiet thing that starts to happen over time. And that's really going to last longer anyway. So I'm hopeful that I think this can help. This is an exercise that I find to be, I sometimes workshop it through with clients in the therapy space, and I just find it really useful. Because the other piece of this is, if you feel really brave and you'd be willing to share your list with your partner, I think that could be so, like, eye-opening for them. It gives them so much information about you, about what, not what your demands are, but what your preferences are. And so they're not going to meet all of them, but if they could meet some of them, if they could start to shift in these little ways that wouldn't feel like huge asks, but that would be meaningful to you, that starts to signal that your preferences matter, your sexual arousal matters, and it starts to lead towards those things. And then you're like, you're starting to feel a little more inclined, right? So some of it's you doing it for yourself, some of it's your partner doing it where possible. And I think it can start to shift the narrative relationally, and it can also just kind of open up your world a bit. So I would love to hear anybody have having experiences with this, and sort of what the outcome is, and if other questions arise from doing the exercise, I would love to hear those as well. So please join us for a future pleasure project. I just opened up registration for the next pleasure circle. So that will be happening in May of 2023, depending on when you're listening to this. But I welcome you to consider joining, and I also welcome any questions. So thank you so much for listening, and this is Jen Kennedy with the Pleasure Project. Okay, take care.